Oh, we bless you, Master. And we thank you for everything you've done and what you're doing. And we thank you for raising watchmen in this last hour. We thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. We thank you for freedom of the Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We thank you for truth. For the price of Jesus. We thank you for the blood, your word, and your name. We thank you. And we ask for your forgiveness in anything we've done that's offended you. Again tonight, Father, wash our spirit, soul, and body and flesh, our emotions and imaginations, our mind, our immune system, with the blood of the Lamb. Cleanse us and fill us. Cleanse us and fill us, that we may be one with you. Because we want to be more like you. Go ahead, just lift your hands to heaven. And thank him for making you more like him. Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your love. We thank you. We do love you. We acknowledge you. And we worship you. Thank you. Come touch each and every one here. Change us. Break every hardened heart. Open every eye and ear to see, to hear, and a heart to receive. Prepare us, Master. Prepare us. Prepare us for your glory and for your coming. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You know, there's so many things that are happening rapidly and quickly. It's almost like overwhelming and hard to keep up. It's almost like I just keep sensing in my spirit that every time we get together, it's like urgency, urgency, you know, urgency. It's like, wow. And the other thing I keep hearing is fortify, fortify, fortify. And there's an urgency and we need to fortify. In other words, put up the walls, you know, take dominion, take authority. You know, especially what's going on right now. I mean, there is such a deception globally. You know, it's like wild. And right now, the government is really trying to push us into one world order. I mean, I don't know if you know that or not. But their whole solution of recovery is globalization. That's called one word old order. You know, they just use the word globalization. What's going to be happening is the taxes are going to go so tremendous, which people don't know, which has been slipped into stimulus, that energy taxes are going to actually force people. Everything's going to be forced. You're going to be forced to have to do things. You'll no longer have a say. You'll be forced. It'll be forced by economic. And the purpose of this is to bring this one world order, one world government, one world economy, and one world religion. I'm telling you, we are getting closer and closer and closer to it. It just kind of blows my mind. And in that, we've got to be ready. In other words, we can't allow anything to move us. It doesn't matter. You know, we just sang that song, Lord, I want to be more like you. And I'm going to live in your glory. Hallelujah. You know? And in this, all of these things that are going on right now, it's causing us also to change more and more. You know, we're having to cast down things that would try to bring fear. Our lives are changing. People are getting closer to the Lord who know the Lord. And those who don't know the Lord don't know what to do. They're trying to grab hold of something, but they don't know what to grab hold of. And in this period of time, there's going to be something called God's power that's going to separate you from the world. Overcoming power of God. And in the overcoming power of God, it's going to let your light shine where you won't be moved. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Grab your swords. So we're going to be overcoming by the power of God. Is everybody with me? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 7. 2 Corinthians 3:7. Would you read it with me? But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the what? Not be more glorious. The ministry of the what? Spirit. Now, the ministry of the Spirit is actually the ministry of the Holy Breath. Of the Holy Breath of God, isn't it? It is a ministry. It's actually, you know, you could even say it's the ministry of the mouth of God, you know? But it's actually the ministry of the breath of God, isn't it? The Holy Breath of God. Let's go further here. For if the ministry of condemnation had what? Glory. The ministry of righteousness succeeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in the respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ, I mean anointing, right? The anointing is what removes the veil. Has everybody got it? Good. In verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? The veil is what? Taken away. When one turns to who? Hallelujah. Now, who is the Lord? Now, the Lord is the what? The Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. So it is the ministry of breath. The Lord is the Spirit, right? Has everybody got this? It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the ministry of the Holy Breath of God. The ministry of the Holy Breath of God. That's why it's so important about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? So you have the Holy Breath. And because it is the ministry of the Holy Breath of God, everything must be activated by what you speak. And we know most of this. Verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed in the same image from glory to glory. Just as what? By the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of God is what's changing you. That's why you're going from glory to glory. And the Lord is the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Holy Breath of God. That's in this realm. He doesn't need holy breath in the other realm, does he? He's God. His breath had to come in this realm. Is everybody with me? Go a little further. Therefore, since we have this ministry, what ministry? The ministry of the Holy Breath of God. That's called the ministry of the Spirit. But it is the ministry of the Holy Breath of God. I want you to begin to visualize that the Holy Breath of God that lives in you. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Does everybody see that? So what he's saying is, look at, continue, don't hide anything. You know, many times people are trying to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they're not getting baptized in the Holy Ghost because there's still hidden things. They haven't brought everything up yet. So it is a ministry of the Holy Breath of God, isn't it? And in this, God is saying, I'm going to move by what you speak if my breath is in you. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about, God's breath in you. But he's saying, listen, there's something that's going to prevent you from being baptized in the Spirit. And that's if you're still holding things of sin and not bringing things of shame to light. And sometimes that will prevent you from getting filled with God's presence again. Even after you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, there are still things that you're protecting or covering that you're not allowing God to deal with. Has everybody got it? See, we've got to be naked before him. Nothing could be hidden from him. Nothing. So when you get in God's presence, you want to be filled. But I'm telling you, if you're still holding things, preventing those things, you won't get filled. And if you keep holding those things, God will expose you in front of others. Is everybody okay? Ephesians 6. And the veil is taken away by the anointing, right? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Lord is the Spirit. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Let's read this again. It's amazing how we have to go back over certain things because God wants to keep reminding us. Reminding us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, wait a minute. What's the Lord mean? The Spirit, the breath. Has everybody got it? Now, be strong in the Spirit. Amen? So it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his what? Might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord, which is in the Spirit, and in the power of his might. Now, I want to share this with you, because be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Spirit, knowing that the Spirit means breath, in the power, which represents his presence, of his might, which is the anointing. Are y'all with me? So there's three things that is going on here. He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Spirit. Be strong in his breath. In the power of his presence, of his might, the anointing. To overcome deception, fear, lust, pride, self, greed, etc. Because this is a war, and we are soldiers fighting the unseen. In other words, it's unseen to the world, isn't it? But it should be seen to me and you. If it's unseen to you, then you're worldly. In other words, there is a war going on, and we are soldiers fighting in the unseen world. The world can't see this, but you and I can. That manifests itself or influences mankind to promote self-destruction. Remember, the powers of darkness are influencing mankind to destroy one another. That's their purpose. You know, when we begin to really see this and understand this and comprehend this and get this in our spirit, that's why the Bible says you're not fighting your brother or your sister. You're fighting what's influencing your brother and sister. But these demonic forces are causing mankind to kill each other. So we are to be strong in the Lord, in the Spirit, in the power of his presence, of his might, which is the anointing. And to overcome deception and fear, lust, pride, self, greed, and other things of the world. Because we are in a war, we are soldiers in a war, fighting the unseen, aren't we? We are fighting the what? Unseen to the world, but seen to me and you. Because the world cannot see it. And this unseen part that is influencing the world so that mankind destroys each other. That's their purpose. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. But we want to be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might? His might, not our own. That's why in these latter moments that we're in right now, the only way that you're going to overcome is with the power of God. Not intellectually. Intellectually, you will not overcome. You overcome by the power of God. That's why God takes the foolish to what? Confound the wise. That's intellectually. That's why he chose all of us. Oh, were we foolish out there. You know, but then the Bible also says that those who are carnal think that
we're foolish because they don't get what we're doing. You be in the bus somewhere and somebody says something, you turn around and say, come out. He don't know what you're doing. He doesn't think that you're, you know, at least you didn't call him an idiot and get in a fight on the bus. You just turn around and say, come out. He said, what? Because they can't see that. In fact, your language is totally different than the carnal world. So you're very peculiar. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, start at verse 1. Let's read it. You therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I love this. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to what? Faithful men who will be able to teach or train others. Who will be able to what? Teach or what? Train others. You therefore must what? Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, I want to go back for a second. It's that we just read that we are to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, right? So we're to be strong in the Spirit, in the power of his presence, in the might of the anointing. Then he says in verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the what? Grace. Now, the grace is God's plan. So he doesn't not only want you to be strong in the Lord, but he wants you to be strong in his plan. Are you listening? And what's his plan? His plan is escape. The grace of God is the plan of escape from the devil, from the wrath of God, and from hell. It is not a legal excuse to do whatever you want. The grace of God is the plan of God. When you said, Lord, have mercy upon me, what you were saying is acknowledge me. Here I am. Give me another chance. And what he's saying is, okay, you blew it. You did this. You did that. You did it. I'm going to forgive you and give you another chance. That's called mercy. I'm acknowledging you. Now, grace is, here you are. Here's a plan of escape. Does everybody got it? Grace does not give you a legal right to go out and do whatever you want to do. Grace is a plan of escape from the devil, to overcome the devil, from the wrath of God, and from hell. So be strong in grace, God's plan of escape. Now we're also escaping something else. Deception, fear, the wrath of God and hell, right? We are soldiers in a war. We can't entangle ourselves or get caught up in the carnal life. That's what he's saying. We can't get caught up in the carnal life, but maintain the guidelines of his plan. That's what he says, compete according to the rules. That's the guidelines of his plan, or what we call grace, to the end. And it's backed by the power of God called the anointing. In other words, everything is backed by the anointing. Everything. God backs everything by the anointing, no matter what's going on in your life. Everything must be backed by the anointing because it goes all the way back to what we said, where he said in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Everything must be backed by the anointing. Even the word of God must be backed by the anointing. If the word of God is not backed by the anointing, now wait a minute, what are you talking about? That's why he said this is the ministry of God's breath. This is where we're at right now. This is what's going to separate individuals during this period of time and time coming. Go to Acts 1:8 for a minute. Yeah, I know we know that some of these scriptures. Good. This is just a little foundation. Acts 1:8. Would you read it with me? But you shall what? Receive what? You shall receive what? Power. Power. Yeah. You shall receive power when? when the breath of God has come upon you. The holy breath of God has come upon you. Does everybody see this? The Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit, now the Spirit of Christ, right? As a witness, because you overcome the life of carnality. You're overcoming the carnal life, right? You are tearing down altars of Satan because you're overcoming. You are rescuing souls, and you're standing firm during trials and attacks, afflictions, and temptations. Why? Because you are backed by the anointing. Do I need to repeat that? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit of Christ is a witness. You are now a witness because the holy breath of God lives in you. That's the only reason why you're a witness. Because the breath of God is in you. And you are a witness because you overcome the carnal life. And you begin to tear down altars of Satan, you rescue souls, and you stand firm during trials and attacks of the devil. You overcome temptations. You are no longer attached or entangled in the carnal life. You are separated from it. Why? Because the holy breath of God lives in you. John 20. John chapter 20 and verse 19. We need good revelation and impartation tonight so that we know who we are. In verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." In other words, Jesus rose from the dead, right? When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive what? The holy breath." In other words, he breathed on them, didn't he? What was he doing? He was breathing on them the breath of God. See, because Jesus is actually the breath of God. It was manifested in the natural realm. We'll talk more about this in a minute. So the holy breath of God. Now, let's go a little bit further here. He says, "Receive you the Holy Spirit," right? If you what? If you forgive the sins of any, then they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are what? Retained. Now, the Feast of Pentecost hadn't been fulfilled yet. Jesus breathed on them to give them power, hello, he breathed on them, his breath. Remember, when Jesus was here on the earth, because he was here, he was able to cover them. That's why they could go out and cast out devils, even though they weren't baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. It's because Jesus, the breath of God, was here in the natural realm. And he covered them. So before he left, he covered them again by breathing on them, so that they could sustain to get to the upper room until the baptism of the Holy Ghost came. But he said something very important. He said, "Forgive others." If you forgive the sins of any, in other words, forgiveness, without forgiven sins, without repentance, the Spirit cannot fill you. You can't be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's one of the delays. Three things that prevent an individual from getting baptized in the Holy Ghost and getting filled is traditions of men, unbelief, and unconfessed sin. Traditions of men, unbelief, and unconfessed sin. Go to John 1. John 1, 1. What's it say? In the what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, wow. God was the Word, and the Word was God. So, this is called the Word of God. You know, we so many times we think it's the Word of God as something that was spoken. But the Word of God is actually God. I'm not talking about the written word. I'm talking about He is the Word. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not what? Comprehend it. In other words, God was the Word, and the Word was God. They were one. Go to verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh. In other words, became tangible. It manifested itself in the natural realm. And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace. What's grace? The plan of escape. So the Word came for communication from the spirit realm to the natural realm to communicate with His creation, His plan. And His plan is truth. But the plan was to escape what? The devil, the wrath of God, and hell. Is everybody okay? So God is the Word, and the Word is God. Does everybody see that? And He became manifest in the natural realm. Now go to Matthew 3 and verse 13. The only way we're going to overcome is by the power of God. Not intellectually, but by the power of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And be strong in the grace, His plan. That's why the Word, God Almighty, the Word was manifested in the natural realm to bring His plan. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are baptizing me? What is this? You know? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am what? Well, please, keep going. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? To be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. See, the devil's always going to hit you in the area of challenging you of who you are. If he can challenge you to who you are and you concede to who he says you are, you lose the battle. See, there's more than just the battle of casting out devils. The battle is to maintain who you are. Does everybody understand this? It is to maintain who you are. And Jesus answered in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every what? Word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not the mouth of man, but the mouth of who? God. Now I want to share something. That the holy breath came upon Jesus, who was the Holy Word. Right? So God's breath came upon God's Word in the natural realm. God's breath came upon God's Word. Does everybody see this? Then he was sent into the wilderness, wasn't he? He was sent into the wilderness to resist the temptations of Satan's kingdom with the Word that was backed up by the breath of God or the anointing. Does everybody see this? See, the Word of God is used to resist the devil. The power of God is used to overcome him. And this is where we are now. You have the Holy Breath in you. That's why the Word of God must always be backed up by the anointing. The Word of God is backed up by what? The anointing. The same thing. What Jesus, because the God Word became in the natural realm, and the breath of God came on His Word, which actually produced the sword of the Spirit. And I want you to look now as Jesus being the sword of the Spirit for God Almighty. He was now the sword in the natural realm, but He is connected to the spirit realm. Do you understand that? So God was actually using Jesus in the natural realm because His breath manifested in the natural realm and His Word manifested in the natural realm. And all of heaven was behind Him. Everybody okay? Ephesians 6:17 talks about the sword of the Spirit. Is everybody there? And take up the helmet of salvation and the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. So the sword is the Word and the Spirit is the Holy Breath. The sword is the Word because all things are made by the Word, isn't it? So the sword is tangible. So the sword is the Word, and the sword of the Spirit means that the Word is backed up by the breath of God or the anointing. And why is that so? Because the divine Word of breath, the Word and breath, Jesus, the sword of the Spirit, the Word and the breath of God in the natural realm to expose, resist, and heal those who are oppressed by the devil. So God Almighty made His own sword in the natural realm, which He was one with, to expose, to resist, and to set those who free who were oppressed by the devil. Hebrews 4 and verse 11. Let's read it together. Let us therefore be what? Diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any what? Two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul, the spirit, and the joints and marrow, which is three parts of man, and is a discerner of the what? Thoughts and intents of the... Oh, I love it. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So the Word of God, the sword backed up by the Holy Breath or the anointing, living in the baptized believer, Holy Ghost baptized believer, will pierce all the enemies in the natural realm. Does everybody understand that? They will pierce all the enemies in the natural realm that are influenced by demonic activity. God used Jesus, again, as a sword in the natural realm. And God is going to use you also. And if you remember what the prophets did, remember he talked about the two prophets that will manifest, that will come, which could be Moses and Elijah. And it says that he's out of their mouth is going to speak things, in other words, like fire is going to come out of their mouth. Why? Because the Bible says that Jesus, out of His mouth, is the sword of the Spirit. And out of His mouth, He's going to destroy the enemy with the brightness. See, so I want you to understand that He's talking about me and you. If you could turn off all of, well, I was going to say if you could turn off all the lights, but that won't work either. If you could see in the spirit realm what actually comes out of your mouth when you speak, it is light. It's light, and it's piercing. And the Word of God, it's backed up by the Spirit, by the anointing, pierces through your body. That's how people get healed. It exposes the thoughts, doesn't it? See, so the Word of God, when it's spoken, can bring conviction. The Word of God, when it's spoken, can bring healing. The Word of God, when it's spoken, can bring deliverance only if it's backed up by the anointing. But there's got to be a good flow going. Because if there's hidden sin and things that you're touching unclean, it won't be backed 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15. Is everybody there? Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 15. Do you not know that you are bodies, are members of what? Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord, now who's the Lord? The Spirit. Is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the what? Temple of the holy breath of God, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You are not what? Your own. See, people are still fighting for their life, but they're wanting God to move on their behalf. But they're actually preventing God from moving on their behalf because they're in the way. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. In verse 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we're in a temple with the holy breath of God. So you got to stop just looking at yourself as a child of God. You are now the temple of the breath of God if you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now the word of God is backed up by the anointing. But there's an area that will prevent you from flowing. That's disobedience and being out of divine position. Hidden sin. Not staying filled with the Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. See, when the Spirit is quickening you to speak the word, that's why he says speak in boldness. When he quickens you to speak the word, so many times people just walk away. And the devil comes and steals it. What maintains it is your faith. What maintains it is your faith. What will steal it is you turning away. See, the devil loves to bring discouragement, doesn't he? See, only the power of God can overcome discouragement. Only the power of God can overcome oppression. Only the power of God can overcome. The word of God will resist the devil. That's why the Bible says resist the devil and submit to God. How do you resist the devil? Through the word. See, you resist the devil, then you submit to God. So you resist him with the word of just the same thing Jesus did in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 3. Is everybody there in verse 16? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now that's amazing, because even though that you have the breath of God in you, if you defile it, God will destroy you. Does everybody see this? You know, some of us who have defiled the temple of God through adultery and fornication reap. Even if you are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you still will reap and you will still have to earn the trust of God again. And only God knows how long that will take. When you break covenant with the Lord, you have to earn his trust again. You do not just get back in position and think everything is okay. I'm sorry, that's not what happens. Because you just broke covenant and you lost his trust. You carry his holy breath and you defiled it. And you are headed to death. You were headed to destruction. And you cried out for mercy. And you gave you mercy and grace now. For what? Here's my plan of escape. But it doesn't mean you won't reap. The reaping is the waiting sometimes. Sometimes the reaping is the long waiting, because he's wanting to see if you're faithful with a little before he gives you more. Because you lose his trust. That's where people want to go up instead of grow up. And God's trying to grow his people up quickly and not get them up, but grow them up before they can get to the next step. Because of what is coming, we have to be solid. You have to be solid for what's coming. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. In verse 16. 16 through 18, would you read it with me? In what agreement is the temple of God with what? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and I'll walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. The word therefore means if. If you what? Come out from among, if you come out of the carnal entanglements. If you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not what? Touch what is unclean. Can you touch something in your mind? Yes. And then I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we see here that agreement with the enemy defiles your soul, your spirit, and can bring affliction to you also. Agreement with the voice of the stranger, the enemy, will defile your soul. See, in this, we're being truly filled with the Spirit of God. Truly being filled with the Spirit of God always maintains a fear of God. And the only reason why an individual is not being filled truly with the Spirit of God, they may feel the Spirit come upon them, they may feel the touch of God, but they might not get filled with God. Because even an unbeliever can feel the presence of God and still not be filled. Even an unbeliever can get healed and still not be filled. But to be filled with God, the temple must not be defiled. There must be an opening to Him all the way. That's where He says, if you'll seek me with all of your heart, with all of your might, and all of your mind, all of your soul, you will find me. That's going to be the difference. Those who are truly filled with God seek Him with all they have. When it's time to worship, you actually worship Him. You just don't do no act. You actually go after Him and worship Him because He is your lifeline. You don't look around the room. You don't wonder what other people are doing. You're not concerned about your job tomorrow or what you did today. You're actually going after Him as it was your last breath. That's when He fills you. You're not to worship God. We don't come together to impress one another. We come together as a unity of members of the body of Christ to go after Him and get filled, truly filled, so that you can overcome by the anointing of God, and that word is backed up by the anointing that He's imparted and filled you again with. Because the world will drain you of God's presence, and you must get filled. Is everybody okay? Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 1. Let's read it, first five verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. But I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is what's going to cause you to overcome in these days. Not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God is the only thing that is going to allow you to overcome on what is now and what is coming. The power of God. Not intellectually, but by the power of God. Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Go to Matthew 12. Verse 28. Matthew 12, verse 28. Jesus said, but if I cast out demons by the what? Spirit of God. What's the Spirit of God? The breath of God. The holy breath. He didn't cast out the Spirit by the word of God. He cast them out by the what? Breath of God. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is what? Against me. Now this is powerful because he's saying, listen, if you're not in this place, in this position, you're easily against me. That's why you see so much division in the body of Christ. That's why there's all kinds of stuff and garbage in the body of Christ. Religiosity, confusion, backbiting, assumptions, truly not being led by the Spirit of truth, still holding on to traditions that prevent an individual from truly being free in the Spirit. Verse 30, and he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me, what? Scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy be forgiven, men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. He's, in other words, letting you know how serious this is. This is serious. Of course, the area of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not accepting Jesus Christ before you die, where there is no forgiveness of it. Because the word that was spoke, that was backed up by the anointing, was rejected. Now, if the word is backed up by the anointing, things are happening. If the word is not backed up by the anointing, that's all you're doing is planting seed. So we cast out demons by the breath of God, not the word of God. By the anointing, it overcomes. The word resists, the anointing overcomes. You put it together, and you have the sword of the Spirit. In Mark 16, I believe they were headed for a series of overcoming by the power of God in this arena. So I believe that the Spirit is laying a foundation right now, so that we get a good understanding of what's up, and so you know who you are. You are not just the temple of God. You are the temple of the holy breath of God. And I think that so many times we take this nonchalantly. I think so many times when people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're more interested in the goosebumps and the fun and the presence, and not the realization of why God is doing what he's doing. And we've talked about this before, that when God pours out his Spirit in a mighty way, it's because he's filling us to prepare us for battle. He's filling us and preparing us for battle. Has everybody got that? It's not just a goosebump or whatever. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, to get drunk in God's presence. Man, get out there and get drunk in the Spirit. Get filled with the Spirit. But whatever's preventing you from getting filled with the Spirit, there is something that you got to go to the Lord and find out why you're not getting filled with the Spirit. Because if he's just touching you on the outside and not on the inside, something's wrong. There's something preventing you from getting in. Maybe you're entangled too much in the world. Maybe you're not doing what he's asking you to do. Maybe you're not in position. Maybe you're in the wrong place. There could be something that is just simple that he's trying to tell you what's wrong, but we're refusing to acknowledge it. Or refusing to see it. Maybe there's unforgiveness towards someone. Maybe there's bitterness. Any of those areas can prevent an individual from getting filled with God. That's why we praise and worship for a period of time and hope that conviction will come so repentance can come, because the blood always goes before the Spirit. The Spirit does not go into an unclean place. Does everybody get it? He goes into a clean place, and it must be washed by the blood first. That's where the Spirit goes. When it's washed by the blood, the Spirit goes in. Same thing as the tabernacle. You look at the tabernacle, outer court, holy place, most holy place. Where is the Spirit? In the most holy place. That's where life is, isn't it? So you go through the ritual. You go through the blood, the word, And then
the Spirit of life.
The blood, the word, and then the Spirit of life. Amen. Praise God. And Mark 16 and 16. And he who what? Believes. The word believe means to what? Follow. And is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Now he's not talking about the baptism of water. He's talking about the baptism of the holy breath of God. The Holy Spirit. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. Why? Because they have the holy breath of God. That's why someone who's not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're not seeing them out there casting out the devil. They're trying to use the word to cast out the devil, but it's the breath of God that casts out the devil. Because the word is not backed by the anointing. Then they got to pray to God, oh Lord, please move the devil. And the Lord's saying, man, if you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you'll move him for me. Bible says, take it by force. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Well, obviously, you don't get speak with new tongues unless you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they will take up serpents. Hello. That's fun. And then cut their heads off. That's even more fun. That should be a sport. What do you do for fun, man? What kind of sport do you play? I'm a hunter. What do you hunt? Serpents. And you're on my list. Glory. And they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? Recover. Power. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. You mean I've been religious this long? Yeah. Proverbs 23, verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. In other words, as a man thinks, so he what? Is. So as a man thinks, so he is. So, you know, God wants us to get a true understanding of this, of who you are. That you are the holy breath of God dwelling in you. Go to verse 23. It says what? Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. In other words, buy the truth. There's a price to pay. Buy the truth. You know, there is a bunch of truth on that table right there. Buy the truth. It's all packaged, nice picture, everything, you know. Buy the truth, man. What's the problem? We got a whole arsenal on that table and more that's not on that table. Buy the truth. But there is a price to pay, isn't there? There's a price to pay. The number one price to pay is to deny yourself. Get yourself out of the way because yourself is entangled in the affairs of this world. Get yourself out of the way. Go to Isaiah 60. This is what's coming. That's why we must overcome by the power of God. Yeah, I said all that for the scripture. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60. You know, it's amazing that people are looking. You know, we have a program, but it's a discipleship. People look at the Total Freedom Program is a program. But Total Freedom is not a program. It is a life. It's a what? Life. See, we're not gathering together just to learn something. We're gathering together because this is a life. This is a life. This is our life now. So that we can constantly resist the devil and submit to God. It's not just some kind of program, you know, that we gather together and we go and then we're done. Okay. In other words, you come to Bible study and it's over with. No, this is a life. Every time we get together, it's adding more to your life. So that the life of Christ can have preeminence. This is a life. And it's a matter of life and death if we don't get it right. In Isaiah 60 in verse 1, read it together. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Do you see this? The darkness shall cover the earth. And deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise where? Over you. How? By the anointing, the breath of God. And His glory will be seen where? Upon you. Do you understand? That's why what we're in right now, things must get darker. They must be more grim. People will become desperate. The Gentiles shall come to your light. Those are unbelievers. And the kings to the brightness of your rising. It doesn't matter what position they're in. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the wicked or the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Does everybody see this? I'm not getting in the multitude of the camels. I don't need any camels. My neighbors have a fit now. So all I need is more camels. Amen. Could use a couple goats. We wouldn't need any lawnmowers. Darkness is coming more and more upon the earth. Darkness is here right now. But our light will shine and they will come to see you. To come to see you. We're getting closer and closer. The world is being, this country is being forced into one world order. People take this at heed. People, within a year's time, will say, my God, who did I put in office? Within a year's time. Within a year. My God, who did I put in office? Who voted for this man in office? 2 Corinthians 5. I know some of them are saying already. But within a year's time, majority, almost all of them will be saying it. Many will. My God, who did I put in office? 2 Corinthians 5. Is everybody there? And verse 5. Would you read this all with me, please? Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is who? God. Who also has given us the Spirit as a what? Guarantee. So we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or evil. So God has prepared this whole event. He's prepared all of this for now, for fulfillment of prophecy. We are in an awesome time right now. But remember that the holy breath of God, that you are the temple of the breath of God. And whatever is preventing you from being filled, search it out. Search it out thoroughly and get rid of it. What are you still touching that's unclean? What are you still holding on to? What are you still rebellious at? Whatever it may be that's preventing you from truly getting filled with God's presence and walking in the joy of the Lord, search out. Because the holy breath of God is in you, and He wants to continually fill us so that we are one. See, the more that we get filled, the more we become one. In a relationship, when one is filled and the other one isn't, division begins to manifest. That's called unevenly yoked. Well, I thought it was a believer and unbeliever. Hey, listen, when you're filled with the Spirit, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, one is filled and one isn't, you become unevenly yoked. Because one can see and the other one can't. And the next thing you know, jealousy comes and so forth, and strife and anger and this and that. Why? Because the devil is accessing the one that's not filled. Because see, if you fill something to the top, you can't put no more in it. Are you listening? But one that's being drained because the entanglements and affairs of the world, the devil's using that person to get to the one that's filled. But the one that's filled, no weapon formed against will prosper. That person will walk in peace and the other one will be tormented. The other one will walk in peace, joy, and righteousness and Holy Ghost, and the other one will walk in fear, confusion, and trembling. Torment. They'll start considering, how am I going to survive? What am I going to do next? Everything will be associated with I, and not trust. Not surrender. There's a place where you come out of survival to surrender. Some people go from surrender to survival because they're not filled. Does everybody get it? Man, you know when you're not filled. Well, you'll know by your own fruit. You get in survival mode. Wah! I got bills to pay. I got this to do. I got that to do. But when you get in filled mode, you come into surrender mode. Because see, when you're not filled all the way, you can't hear all the way. When you're not filled all the way, you can't hear all the way. It's our responsibility and the command from God that we stay filled with God's presence. Stay filled with God's Spirit. Come out from among them and be separate. Come out from among, be careful of vows you make. You better be a fulfiller of the vow you make. That will prevent you from getting filled. You said you're going to do something and didn't do it. Didn't repent. That will prevent you from getting filled. See, the devil is a legalist. He looks for every opportunity to prevent you from getting filled with God's presence too. Remember, you are the temple, the holy breath of God. The word of God must be backed by the anointing. If you are backed by the anointing, you are backed by heaven because you are blessed. And if you are blessed, all of heaven is behind you. Your light will shine. Things are getting difficult out there. You know, some people are actually trying to ignore what's going on out there. They're trying to stuff it underneath the rug because they're afraid. But the rug's going to get pulled back soon. And depending on where you are spiritually, will depend how much light you shine. And people either run by you or run to you. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We thank you. I ask, Father, that you'll give each and everyone in this room revelation of who they truly are. As not only the temple of God, but the temple of the holy breath of God. And Lord, expose in our area of life anything that is preventing us from being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being refreshed in the Holy Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That we may maintain a filling, daily filling of your presence and of your love. Severing ourselves from all the entanglements and affairs of this world. That we may be one with you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless. Hallelujah.